The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Champions Cast here on ZeldaDungeon.net. My name, of course, is Andy Spiteri, and I am joined by Taylor Wells. Taylor, what's going on, dude? How are you?
Just working on some new projects in the sci-fi realm. It's actually pretty cool, pretty exciting. I haven't done a whole lot of work in that area. A lot of it revolves around fantasy, so I'm having a good week. How about you?
I'm having a pretty good week, too. Can't complain. I've been doing, like, trying to work out a lot, so I'm a little bit more tired than usual. I gotta slim down for my wedding next year, so
gotta fit in that tux.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm fatigued. I just went on a bike ride, which is like, ugh, God. You never realize how out of shape you are until you actually do something physical, you know?
Yes. Well, if I was ever out of shape, I would understand that feeling.
Yeah. So my week's been good, though. It's been a good feeling. I guess a good feeling that we should talk about is that we were kind of right and that one of our E3 predictions is kind of still on track, maybe. Of course, I'm talking about the recent buzz around Cadence of Hyrule, and it was supposedly coming out on the 30th of May, but that, of course, didn't happen. Our managing editor, Rod Lloyd, actually pointed out that usually Nintendo will kind of assign the last day of the month as placeholder release dates for titles and stuff like that. So somebody saw the metadata for Cadence of Hyrule, and that's where they got that release date of May the 30th from, and that is not happening. And since then, a new video has come out where it seemingly is confirmed that this game is coming out in June, so fingers crossed for my E3 prediction that it comes out during the conference. I'm still pretty confident in that one, actually.
Yeah, I don't really see them waiting too much longer after E3 to do it, so it kind of makes more sense to do it at E3, especially since that's kind of like been their mantra so far, you know, release a direct, release a game, or release a DLC or something like that. So it falls in line, I think.
Yeah, they're usually good for, like, once a year, at least saying, you know, this is coming out right now. So, yeah, I'm hopeful for that, because I was reviewing my picks, and I was just like, oh, man, I could, like, easily see none of these being correct at all. I'm second-guessing myself.
Don't do that. I feel like both of our Pokemon predictions should still kind of sort of maybe count, despite there being a Pokemon Direct on, what is it, the 5th?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's the other thing, too. So pretty much, maybe you and I we'll call an audible, and if any of our picks are revealed during that Direct, we can count it towards, I don't know, we'll talk about that later behind the scenes. Speaking of our E3 predictions, though, I don't think we ever came to a conclusion about what your double punishment should be. I saw something about streaming in a Tom Brady jersey. What do you think about that?
Well, that would require me to actually have a Tom Brady jersey, which everybody knows it's not a thing. So if somebody wants to send me one, maybe you could do that.
I want to give a quick shout-out to the Toronto Raptors while we're kind of talking about sports. We the North, baby. Go Raps, go. just had to throw that in there. We're very proud up here. We're very excited. The furthest that we've ever been in an NBA playoff run ever. So,
you know, as a Knicks fan, I can't really say that your hopes and dreams aren't well-founded. So, congratulations.
We didn't get swept. I totally thought that the Raps would get swept in the finals. We kicked ass in that game. So I was pleasantly surprised about it. It was it's been a good ride so far. But anyways, back to E3. Of course, E3 is just right around the corner here, and we've got a very fun E3 episode for you this week. We are going to be reliving the best of times and the worst of times when it comes to Nintendo at the big show. And this is probably as good a place as any to remind you guys that there will be no new Champions Cast next week. So next Monday, we have the day off, but we're going in on Tuesday. We're gonna be live about half an hour before the show starts with some pre-show coverage, predictions, last-minute news, anything like that. Of course, we're going to stream the entire conference for you and then stick around as we break it down after the fact. We're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, what we were surprised at, disappointed at, all of that good stuff. That's all going to be happening at the Zelda Dungeon Twitch channel, so make sure that you are locked into that. If you've got the day off, you know, come hang out with us. It's going to be a super fun time. I think that this is going to be a really, really good E3 for Nintendo. I have a strong feeling about it.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be under the water, so to speak. I don't think it'll be as quiet as some people are saying. There might not be a whole lot of maybe bam wow in your face titles, but I think we're getting a lot of solid things this year, and it's going to turn out to be a really fun time.
I'm just stoked for Luigi's Mansion. That's a bam wow.
Oh yeah.
That might be my game of the show, actually, depending.
What about Metroid Prime 4 being delayed indefinitely?
Metroid Prime 4 was already delayed indefinitely, so what's the worst that they could do?
That's true. Fair point.
But we're crossing our fingers for Metroid Prime Trilogy on the Switch. So yeah, that's gonna be on the 11th. Of course, we want you to come hang out with us. That's gonna be taking place at. Oh god, my time zones are all mixed up. It starts at 10. It starts at 9 Pacific, so we're going to be live at 8:30 Pacific. There we go. That's the right time zone. So yeah, come hang out with us. And if you can't, don't worry, because we're going to have our pre-show and our post-show reactions all wrapped into one for you to check out later in the form of a podcast as well. So, you know, come hang out with us during. If you can't, don't worry, you're going to catch up on everything that that we talked about there. So before we get going with our E3 show here, I just want to quickly plug two different podcasts here, if you will allow me that, Taylor.
Sure, why not? I mean, you are the master of plugging, so.
The first podcast that I want to plug is from one of our very own original content editors, David Wayne Nystrom. He just launched a podcast all about his fan fiction, the Era Without a Hero. So that's available on pretty much every major podcast app. So go check it out. If you're a fan of the fan fiction story that we've been publishing on the site, then you can catch up with all the latest developments on there, and you can listen to it instead of reading it as maybe you're driving home from work or something like that. And of course, the second podcast I want to plug, Virtual Theater. We took a little bit of time off. We took a couple weeks off to recoup after all the movies that we did in a row, but we are back at it with Resident Evil, and that movie is actually, it's far worse than I remember. It's a terrible, terrible movie. Not like the game at all.
I feel like you're going back and forth on that one. Like, I remember before recording the episode, you're like, gosh, I'm not really looking forward to this. And then after you watched it, you're like, man, I really ripped into that. I don't know if it deserved that. And now you're saying that it totally deserved everything you gave it?
No, it deserved it. It deserved it.
Okay.
It's not very good. It's not very scary. And it's not very fun, which is like, you know, good, fun, and scary are all the things that I would describe the best Resident Evil games as, so go check it out. It's hard to describe how unfun that movie is and do it justice, but we try our best on Virtual Theater. That, of course, is over on SoundCloud and pretty much all major podcast apps, so check that out, And if you've missed any of the other video game movies that we've covered, we got Street Fighter, we got Doom, we've got all sorts of bad movies in there that they're so bad that it's good. So you'll want to check that out. But now, it's time for the good and the bad of Nintendo at E3. And Taylor, what should we start out with? The good stuff or the bad stuff?
I say we end on a good note for once and start with the bad.
Okay.
I remember that last time around this year, we kind of did a whole episode about some of the bad. So I think it'd be good to kind of flip the switch this year.
Let's do this. Let's do one bad and then one good, and we'll take it from there, and we'll kind of take you on an E3 journey of Nintendo from literally the peaks and the valleys over the years. And this really does span quite a long time over the years. It goes back almost 20 years.
It's going to be a good roller coaster ride, eh?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, strap in. Let's do it. So these are kind of in order, but they're not really. They could be interchangeable, but just to also give a preface for this, these are obviously our personal picks, things that that we just thought were particularly atrocious or, you know, exceptionally awesome. So with that being said, let's dive into it. Number 5 from E3 2015, Metroid Prime Federation Force. And what a absolute terrible, terrible just reveal this was. Everybody on this show knows that I'm a giant Metroid fan. If I didn't work at Zelda Dungeon, I'd work at Metroid Dungeon. So needless to say,
that needs to be a thing.
And I wish it was. Maybe we could start that when Metroid Prime 4 comes out in like 2025.
Could be an option. We'll have to get Mossies to buy it out.
So in 2015, I feel like some context is important here. In 2015, there had not been a new Metroid game in 4 years. Not only had there not been a new Metroid game, but not even like a hint of a Metroid game in development. The last Metroid game that came out was a big tonal shift from the series, and it took it in a really bad direction. Of course, we're talking about Metroid Other M. It wasn't developed by Retro Studios. It was just this odd side game that really was not well received by Metroid fans. So Nintendo really could have used something to turn the tide here and just reassure those Metroid fans. And instead, they delivered a trailer for what looked like a really cheap looking chibi style game with these generic soldiers that were, it kind of played through the Metroid Prime first person perspective, but not really. It pretty much was just Metroid in name. It had a lot of like multiplayer focus, and there was like a soccer game in the trailer, and it was just, so everything that we didn't need from Metroid at the time. Like, we needed, 2 years later, we would get the trailer for Samus Returns, and that trailer really should have been in 2015, because it was a reassurance, but this trailer was just like, oh my god, they're killing the Metroid franchise even further. So I absolutely hated it. I hated it so much that I still have not played Federation Force, which maybe isn't fair, because you know what, it might be a good game, but man, it's just not a good Metroid game.
I think as a, I guess you could say a middle-of-the-line Metroid fan, like, I haven't played all of them, but I do enjoy, you know, several of the ones that I have played, especially the earlier titles. It's weird, because, like, when you first brought this up with me, I was like, what are you talking about? Metroid Federation Force? I couldn't even remember that. And then I looked it up, and it brought back these memories to me of, like, just standing there watching this trailer and going, if they didn't tell me that it was a Metroid game, I don't know that I would have been able to tell. And
yeah,
on
exactly.
On top of that, I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg in this situation, but yeah, Blast Ball, it was like kind of, I guess, a cheaper version or a 3DS version of Rocket League. So, I don't know. It was so weird and just out there. And I don't know why. I don't know why that they decided to go with that approach. It just makes no sense to me.
I'm a fan of spin-off games and series. Like I'm really excited for Cadence of Hyrule. I like the concept of Hyrule Warriors. I like that kind of stuff. And to me, it's just like Metroid just kind of gets the crappy versions of these spin-offs. Like, we got a pinball game, which, like, okay, I guess Samus turns into a morph ball. It's applicable. But then, just getting this squad-based shooter, and it looked really cheap, and I think that was the problem. The art style didn't register. It looked like it was, and it was early on in development, but it looked really unpolished, and I think that it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Actually, Reggie basically had to come out, and I think his exact quote was, reception to Federation Force has been bad, there's no doubt. So it was so bad that the president of Nintendo of America had to acknowledge it to everybody, so that should tell you everything that you need to know about Metroid Prime Federation Force. So that will definitely live on in infamy for any Metroid fans out there, but I dare say that our number five moment on the positive list makes up for that, because on the one hand, you have long-suffering Metroid fans that, you know, new games aren't really common in the Metroid series, but last year, E3 2018, Taylor, you'll remember this very well, Ridley finally comes to Smash. That is number five on our list.
Killing Mario, no less.
Killing Mario, killing Mega Man. He was pretty badass in this trailer.
Yeah, just like Nintendo enjoys delivering a Ridley-sized shaft towards its Metroid fans, Ridley kind of did the same thing to Mario and half the rest of the Smash roster. It was pretty sweet.
The trailers for the new characters of Smash Bros., you know, they have just become so well-produced and well-polished over the years that when I saw this trailer, I was really excited, and then just once it was done and we'd kind of freaked out or whatever, I rewatched it a couple times and just marveled at, like, really how good it was. They really made Ridley look really formidable, which I thought was a success. And just, like, man, I remember back in 2001 when Super Smash Bros. Melee came out and Ridley was in that opening cinematic. And just, you know, since then, a lot of fans have been clamoring for Ridley to get into Smash, and there was always kind of this reason or that reason. And this felt like just such an accomplishment that he finally made it. You know, I was just like, oh, I think you could probably go back to the Champions Cast episode 15 live at E3, and you will hear me screaming like a little girl when Ridley comes out. It was awesome.
Yeah, cue that, what is that, gif of Jonah Hill just, like, standing in place, kind of squirming about with a really giddy smile on his face. That's pretty much you in a nutshell in 2018, and it was great. I mean, I was just as excited, too. Ridley, for all intents and purposes, for me, is really just, he's absolutely the Ganondorf of Metroid, and I've never really seen kind of other villains in the Metroid series as being, I guess you could say, like a topping performance. Ridley's always kind of been it, so it was nice that Smash is getting to the point where they are confident enough to throw out their biggest hits, and everybody knew that. You know, all the Metroid fans, even the non-Metroid fans, were like, yeah, why is Ridley not in the game already? So for them to finally just come out and say, hey, yeah, we're putting him in, we're not giving you some lame excuse about how we can't have, you know, big-sized characters in the game anymore, despite Bowser being in the game since the start. It was nice. And the cinematic trailer, you know, as the years go by, these just get better and better, and I think take on a much more movie-based approach, which I think in video games works a lot better than maybe video games going to movies, but it was just nice all around and had the impact that it deserved.
Speaking of those awesome cinematics, I just want to throw out there, I am addicted to the Super Smash Bros., like footage, but mocked up to the Avengers trailers. You know what I mean? the Avengers Smash Bros. They're so good. They're so good. If you guys haven't seen it, you got to get out there and watch it. It's just like, man, I want Super Smash Bros. Endgame so badly.
There are some creative people out there, man. I swear, you put anything out there on the internet, there's going to be somebody who's going to make something of it, and it's going to be hilarious.
All right, well, this was hilarious for Nintendo not making something of this, and this is going back to the worst of times. Number 4 on our list from E3 2011. What else could it be other than the Wii U reveal? And so much has been dumped on this that we'll try to bury the Wii U softly here, but just like what a terrible way to reveal your new console. First of all, the name, I can understand why they wanted to, you know, keep the Wii brand, but when you reveal the console and you spend 90% of it talking about the new controller, and there's already like a million peripherals for the Wii out there in the wild, like the vitality sensor and the Fit board and all this junk, I could see why people thought that this was just something that you'd slap onto your existing Wii, and it was
right.
Really just like doomed from the start with this haphazard reveal.
Yeah, and you know what? To this day, I'll say that the Wii U is still actually a really, really good console. It's just like everything leading up to its release and for a good time after its release just kind of, as you said, doomed it before it started. Nintendo's marketing plan definitely did not seem to be its usual self. Like, somebody took a sick day or something, because coming out with what they did made it just seem like, you know, not clear at all that this was supposed to be a successor console, not just something you add on or not something that, you know, you attach or whatever it is. I don't get it. Like, it baffles me why that was the approach. Like, hey, let's introduce a system that is supposed to be new and improved. We're going to have a whole bunch of cool stuff. The gamepad is going to be the key feature. So we're only going to talk about the gamepad. What? Why? That, I don't know. At least come out and say something like, oh yeah, this is like the Wii 2 or something like that.
It was also a matter that it didn't have that killer IP to launch with. You know,
no.
The most successful Nintendo consoles have had that game that you just have to have when it comes out. Breath of the Wild for the Switch, Twilight Princess for the Wii.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I don't think the Wii U really got anything like major until, what was it, Splatoon or Smash 4?
You could probably argue that the Wii didn't get anything major for at least the first year of its life when New Super Mario Bros. U came out.
Right.
Because, and then Smash came out in 2014, and Mario Kart 8 came out, and you know, those were successful titles in Splatoon, as you mentioned. But like, at this point, it was already too little, too late. Like, that just it died so quickly, and this reveal, I think, is a big reason why. So the focus on the gamepad, the lack of a killer game to launch with, and you have a recipe for an awful console, and it's no wonder that the Wii U did the business that it did. So that is number 4 on our list. Let's talk about some cool marketing. How about, and ironically, this is actually for Smash Bros. For the Wii U. So this comes from the 2014 E3, and this is coming in at number 4 on our This Is Awesome list. Reggie Fils-Aimé versus Satoru Iwata. Tell me that this wasn't the coolest thing that you've ever seen. Of course, what I'm talking about, these guys are in like this dark room. They kind of, you see a trailer and they're kind of bowing to each other. And then they get in this awesome Matrix style fight where like Reggie's like punching at the speed of light. And then Iwata's coming back and like blocking kind of like Morpheus. And like, it was so cheesy and it was so awesome. And the whole gist of the video was that it was introducing the Mii Fighters for Super Smash Bros. And the Mii Fighters themselves were actually like kind of whatever. They were okay. They're a cool gimmick. But man, this video of like the two most beloved figures in my mind in all of video games just just fighting each other in this crazy over-the-top battle is something that I, you know, if ever I'm just cruising YouTube and want to have a smile on my face, I go back and I watch this because it's so crazy and it's so Nintendo, and I loved it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I've said it before. It's like simplicity sometimes is the best thing. And with this one, like it just added so much personality, I think, to an otherwise dull feature. Like, I don't know a lot of people who are super crazy about Mii fighters in Smash. I don't know even less people who main a Mii fighter in Smash. But you know, just that presentation, it sold it for me, despite knowing in my inner heart, like, oh, I'm probably not going to spend all this much time on it. It gave it personality, gave it flavor, and I always smile when I see it, and I think it is probably one of the greatest marketing moves that Nintendo ever did. And, you know, if someday out there, I think that Reggie and Satoru Iwata in heaven or wherever are just going to be duking it out over a Smash game.
That's very nice. Yeah, that's it's so classically Nintendo. It's so goofy. You know, you couldn't have the slick videos like you'd had for the other character reveals. So I thought that this was perfect. And there's something about seeing these two grown men who are obviously just having a complete ball, like just loving life, duking it out. If you could watch this without grinning, I don't know, man. Your heart must be black. But I loved it. So that is that's number four on our list. So we might subvert some expectations here, but we're actually going to rank what a lot of people's number one Nintendo disaster at E3 was number three on our list, and we are talking about Wii Music from 2008. Now, we could have probably made an entire list based off of Nintendo's E3 2008 conference, because this really was just an absolute terrible conference. This was coming in a year after there had already been big releases in the Metroid series and in the Mario series and in the Zelda series. Those had all come out relatively in the year or two prior to that. So this time, there's really nothing left in the tank. So what do? They go full-on casual mode. Like, pretty much every single game that was shown was, like, Wii this or Wii that. Like, Wii Sports Resort, I think, was actually the biggest game that came out of this. And it was just a casual gamer kind of a show. And, of course, that's not really what you want at E3, where the most hardcore gamers are there. So that was a problem. They had nothing to show. That was a problem. The Shaun White spot was, like, super cringeworthy. Cammy Dunaway hosting was super cheesy and cringeworthy, and her like Cheshire Cat smile on her face for the entire thing is the stuff of nightmares. But like, man, Wii Music is just the worst of the worst of that year. You've got like Shigeru Miyamoto playing a saxophone on his Wiimote nunchuck. Ravi the drummer, the gift that lives on in infamy, he looks like he's literally about to pop a blood vessel drumming. The whole shebang was just like super, super embarrassing, and that it ended the show was just like, oh my god, it was truly the worst of times to be a Nintendo fan.
I cannot get Ravi drums out of my head. Like, I have tried to purge my memories. I've tried to purify my soul. Nothing. We'll get that out of my head. It was such a catastrophe. Oh my god. What was the appeal there to begin with? Like, oh yeah, you get to be a rock star, but that's already been done before. We've got Rock Band. We've got Guitar Hero. Although I think those did come out. I think Rock Band came out in the summer of that year, so maybe they were jumping.
I will confirm that Rock Band was already out at this time, because I was owning it and playing the heck out of it.
I just remember selling the hell out of it back when I worked at GameStop, and I couldn't remember whether it came out in summer or spring, but I know that when I saw this E3 presentation for Wii Music, I was like, the competition is fierce, and Ravi the Drummer just ain't cutting it.
God, he just... And you know what? I'm sure he was trying his best, you know, making the best of a bad situation. He looks like he's trying his
best.
And Ravi, if you're out there, at least you can know that you live on in GIF immortality. But yeah, just what an awful, awful direct. And it really was just like the start of that casual symptom that would basically infect Nintendo for the rest of the next couple of years, until you could really make that argument until they got, you know, kind of course corrected with the Nintendo Switch, that it took them that long to kind of get back on track. But it was truly just an embarrassing. It wasn't even like so, it's not so bad that it's good. It's just like embarrassing and sad. And when you see kind of the cool kids with their PlayStation and their Xbox, and you're just like looking at Ravi the Drummer playing Wii Music, you're just like, ugh.
Oh boy.
God. But let's talk about something cooler. Let's talk about something better. We're going to go back to our positive list. And at number three, we're going to go to E3 2004. And we're going to go to the very, very start of this presentation. And this is going to be the first time that we are going to meet the man, the myth, the legend. And I'm going to read you the direct quote. "My name is Reggie. I'm about kicking ass, taking names, and we're about making games." Is this not just like an absolutely like iconic moment? Like, what a way to present yourself to the world. This was largely the first public appearance of Reggie Fils-Aimé, who of course would go on to obtain that legendary status with Nintendo. But he was exactly what Nintendo needed at that time. And there's no better way to kind of make your statement than, you know, to come out and say a very traditionally un-Nintendo thing to say.
Yeah, it definitely had shock value. And I think if you had told me, it's one of those situations where, like, if I had known where Reggie would end up, this would make total sense to me. But being someone who, you know, has had this firm image of what Nintendo is in my mind for, you know, a number of years now, to see him come out just so brazenly and openly say that and then just start dropping bombs left and right with what's happening over at Nintendo, I was just like, man, I like this new and improved Nintendo. I like this man. What is happening? What are you selling me next? It was nothing short of exciting, and I think that's really what it was all about. And it was a perfect beginning and a perfect description, I think, for Reggie's eventual career.
And I was watching this conference earlier today, and I was like mesmerized, might be a good word. Like, Reggie is just such an eloquent speaker, and he commands attention. So that opening line obviously just gets everybody's attention. But then you go a little bit further into his conference, and he's talking about what the competition does. And if you're looking at this, then the competition does that for you. If you're looking at this competition, they're going to do this for you. But Nintendo does it all. And he delivers a line which I think that maybe gets slept on a little bit because of the first line there. But his quote is, "He with the best games wins. Always been that way, always will." And he reaffirmed that Nintendo truly was making, it was all about making the best games. And when you watch that, it's just like, this is a man that truly believes in this message, that speaks with conviction, and he really was what Nintendo needed. Because Nintendo had always kind of had that reputation as being child's products and stuff like that. And so he came and really... In a lot of sense, it seemed like he dragged a lot of Nintendo to the next phase or the next level in a lot of ways. And obviously, you know, time in retrospect and who Reggie would become and what he would mean to a lot of gamers kind of bumps this moment up on the list. But going back and watching this, I love it.
I absolutely say that, like, Reggie redefined an entire generation of Nintendo and Nintendo fans. And you know what? I don't think it's unfair to judge his later successes based off of this moment, because, like, honestly speaking, he's one of the few, for lack of a better word, game designer, game developer, like, you know, he's one of the few people in the gaming industry, like, who, when he says something, not only does he just, like, mean, not only does he just mean it, but he commits to it, and he lives up to it. Like, he doesn't let it fall by the wayside. And even if he does make a mistake, like, he was always the first one to be there, like with Metroid Prime Federation Force, to say, hey, we made a mistake, here's what we're doing to make it better. So I think this moment just kind of perfectly encapsulated everything that we were going to get out of Reggie and everything that we did get.
Yeah, I think he brought a legitimacy and a transparency that was perhaps missing from Nintendo.
For sure.
I've read, I'm a big fan of the Console Wars book by Blake J. Harris, and you read that book and Nintendo of Japan, Nintendo of America just seemed like this, like, shadowy corporation that you can never get a straight answer out of. And I think Reggie went a long way into, A, giving it a much-needed face, and then giving it even more a much-needed voice. So, yeah, that's a great moment for me. Obviously, we're huge Reggie fans on this show. So, and anytime Reggie pops up and does something cool, you know that we're going to be all about it. Let's go.
Heck yeah.
Let's go back to the worst of times, though. This is 1 year.
Oh, no.
This is 1 year before Reggie shows up, and this is pretty bad. And I was telling you the story about this particular incident before, I think it was yesterday, and I was telling you that I remember being in high school, 15 or 16 years old, wasn't quite the gamer that I am today, I wasn't very knowledgeable about the industry or anything going on in it, but I remember watching this and just being like, man, this sucked. So, I'm talking about Pac-Man Versus. So that's going to come in at number 2. On our worst of Nintendo E3 list, Pac-Man Versus from 2003. The thing is that this game ended up actually being pretty fun. And the conference that Nintendo had prior to this was actually pretty good. But it's just like, it's the classic example of you got to end strong. You got to end big with something really, really exciting. And not with kind of a wet fart, which is basically what Pac-Man Versus was. So leading up to this, Nintendo had focused on games like Mario Kart Double Dash, they'd shown a little bit of Metroid Prime 2, Pikmin 2, there had been a big presentation for Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, which is really exciting, F-Zero was in there, and Zelda the Four Swords was in there, so like, some really quality titles so far. And then they end with Pac-Man Versus, and this is really bad because they had promised a really major title to end on. And Pac-Man Versus was the definition of a gimmick. So to anybody that doesn't know, Pac-Man Versus was a multiplayer game for the GameCube. And it was kind of like it was a vehicle to show how the Game Boy Advance could connect to the GameCube and be fun to play as. Think of it as a Zelda Four Swords adventure, pretty much, for the GameCube, except with Pac-Man.
Not so cool.
And it doesn't make sense to end with that. When you have Zelda Four Swords Adventure on the same show that does the same thing that Nintendo fans are probably going to be more into than Pac-Man Versus. So it was the most anticlimactic ending to a Nintendo E3 show that I can remember. There, Taylor, you'll know this meme, the Reaction Guys meme.
Mm-hmm.
That's Pac-Man Versus right there.
Okay, now it's all becoming clear. I was a child of the wee age of 13 when this debuted. I actually didn't really start watching E3 until the next year, and start watching it regularly at that. So most of the information news I got was through things like Nintendo Gaming Monthly, or like Nintendo Power, and then Electronic Gaming Monthly and Computer Underground, all these different websites or magazines. And so when you mentioned this, I had to stop for a second and think, what do you mean? What is this? And then going back and looking at it, and it's interesting that you say that the game wasn't actually all that bad. But that being said, Who on God's green earth decided that was the showstopper? That's the one we're premiering for the whole event. I'm so lost.
It's a classic example of bad placement, because the bad placement of this game just totally ruined this game for anybody that was excited to play it. This would have been a fine middle of the show title.
Sure. It's one of those things where I look at that and then I look back at what we were just talking about with Reggie, and I'm like, man, this plan of action could have used some Reggie, because this was not a good idea on any front. And I think that's really sad too, because there are a lot of games out there where you just look at them, or you know just hear a little bit of snippet about them, and you say, oh, that's a game that's probably not for me, or it's not going to be all that interesting. But then those games turn out to be, like, really, really, really good. And I just think it's a shame, because, you know, it just really hurts. Like, where, as you said, like, timing and placement, if it had been middle of the pack, you know, maybe it would have been a much more popular game. Maybe it would have been much more well-received. You know, as opposed to trying to make it a showstopper when you've got titles like, you know, Zelda or Smash or, you know, what have you, these big name AAA titles. And granted, I guess you could kind of consider Pac-Man AAA, since it's been around since before everything else, but I don't know, man.
Pac-Man had the same equity as it did back in the 80s at that point.
That's not what I'm saying, though.
You know what? I'll throw him a bone. I'll throw him a bone, too, because as we were talking about in 2008, in 2003, Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker had just come out, Metroid Prime had just come out, Mario Sunshine had just come out, Star Fox had just come out. There was a lot of stuff that had just been released. So it's not like they had a ton in reserve. 2003 was kind of a weak year for Nintendo. But, I mean, come on. Like, show Zelda The Four Swords. Like, I think that would have been better received in that spot, and maybe...
Or Twin Snakes. I would have led with Twin Snakes, despite that game being horrible, okay? All you MGS fans out there,
Shut your rat mouth. That is an awesome game.
Twin Snakes was bad.
Oh, it's
Twin
so
Snakes
good.
Was bad.
That cool moment from the show, actually. They had Shigeru Miyamoto, Kojima, and Dennis Dyack from Silicon Knights all on the stage at the same time. And at the time, Dennis Dyack had just come off the really successful Eternal Darkness. There was this game called Ravenclaw. There was a game called Too Human that was coming out that people were really jazzed for.
Yeah.
Their stock was pretty high up there at that point. So I remember that, actually, and thinking that was pretty cool.
I was definitely excited for it, and I think that their presentation of the Twin Snakes was really great, and I remember reading a lot about it before it came out, and I think that, you know, hands down, if I was going to pick anything from 2003 to lead my presentation with, especially where Nintendo is concerned, since that was their exclusive, that would have been it.
Yeah,
Pac-Man would not have been
the
choice.
If you want something in your main event spot, you know, to send your audience home happy, I would have went with the Twin Snakes as well, or Zelda Four Swords. Either one of them would have made more sense than frickin' Pac-Man Versus, but...
Sure.
I guess without that, we wouldn't have a list like this, so let's go from the bad, and let's go back to the land of the awesome. And this might be some Champions Cast bias here, but number two on our list is coming from E3 2016. It's finally revealed, after years at this point of speculation and secrecy and just clawing to get even the littlest bit of information, the trailer to End All Trailers is played, and at the end, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And everything from that trailer, the score, to the sweeping landscapes, to the what looks to be improved combat, it just, it was such a moment for me watching it, where I finally was just like, Breath of the Wild, and I said it out loud, and it seemed to fit instantly, and then you see it in action, and then you see the beautiful set pieces on the E3 floor. Nintendo really, I mean, they really went all in with Breath of the Wild at this show. It was their only game, and they dedicated their entire presentation to it, and... That being said, that considered, I think that they did the absolute best that they could, and it couldn't be called anything other than a success.
The the biggest thing I think for me during that was just being able to finally see something that I already knew was going to be great, and then just being able to validate it. And, you know, I won't lie that when I saw it happen, when they finally brought it out, gave it the full, beautiful, beautiful treatment it deserved, I was ugly crying through that presentation. It was bad. Like, I'm glad there's no video evidence of it out there, but man, I was emotional. I was like, you know what? I've been waiting for this game for so long now, for what feels like an eternity. We've heard nothing about it. We've gotten a 40-second introduction trailer.
It was 40 seconds at the Game Awards, I want to say. Or maybe, right. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm thinking of the next year. Basically, we had gotten nothing.
Yeah, it was 30 to 40 seconds for the introduction trailer, like saying, hey, there's a new Zelda game in the works. And then we got, a 15-second teaser where Link's sitting on a horse on top of a grassy knoll about to instigate American World Revolution. Oh, wait, no, wrong history. So he just sits there, he looks up at the camera, and, you know, that was it. And they're like, oh yeah, Breath of the Wild is still coming. Thanks, I didn't need that reminder. I need to actually see it. And then, woo, lo and behold, the C3 comes around, and do we see it? I still think one of my favorite memories from that is Shigeru Miyamoto's translator for a million years, Bill, going up there and demoing this game and saying live on Nintendo's stream that he condones the burning of thousands and millions of innocent bokoblins.
It was truly monumental. Something about seeing that logo and then seeing the subtitle for me, I'll never forget that. Just when, like, Breath of the Wild came across that screen and, like, saying it out loud and then saying it again, and I was like, Breath of the Wild. And I know a lot of our listeners are probably in the same exact boat when they, you know, there's something about finally learning what the next Zelda game is called that it's like it sticks with you. And I think that, you know, knowing what Breath of the Wild would become, knowing all of the stock that Nintendo invested into that game, because really, if that game would have bombed, then the Switch might not be off to the start that it got. It was a really important moment, and it was a really special one. But I'm glad that you brought up Bill Trennan and Shigeru Miyamoto, because everybody knows where this is going next. That's right. We're going back to our absolute worst Nintendo E3 moment. We've talked about it on this show before, so we're not going to beat it up too badly, but, you know, you can't talk about Nintendo at E3 without talking about the most infamous screw-up that they have ever had. And, of course, we are talking about the Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword demo from 2010. And, God, what a disaster. And, you know what, to be fair, this one wasn't exactly Nintendo's fault. They had tested it beforehand. Everything worked fine. As you and I know, the motion controls for Skyward Sword work perfectly fine. We've had some friends disagree with us on that. But was it via the sensors, infrared sensors, or just distance away from the console, whatever? Nothing was working when Miyamoto was trying to make Link do anything in this Skyward Sword demo. And everybody watching it was just sitting there in, like, awkward silence, as you can just tell that everybody knows that this is just a complete disaster. I really, truly think that the stigma of this demonstration really stuck with Skyward Sword and put it behind the ball to start. It kind of gave people some bad preconceived notions of this game before it even had a chance. And so I really, you know, when I think of Nintendo bombs at E3, this is the one that I think of.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we said it all last year, but again, I can't really say anything more than just, you know, sitting there watching them struggle through it and just feeling absolutely terrible for them. And it was weird too, because I'm like, I'm here to see the newest Zelda, and I'm super, super excited for it, but my attention wasn't even on Zelda anymore at this point, because I'm just sitting there watching these two guys who are, like, probably the paragons of light when it comes to Nintendo's optimistic brand marketing, and, you know, just watching them just fail to get it off the ground, to no matter what they tried, it broke my heart, and I was just like, oh man, this is just unfortunate, and there's nothing that could be done about it, you know. So thank whatever is out there for Skyward Sword actually being a good game. Yeah, you heard it. We say it, we believe it. You know, I think
Skyward Sword is like maybe the best Zelda game behind Ocarina of Time, but
it's definitely up there.
Just it'll never be perceived that way because of,
yeah.
This is my theory, and people are going to dump all over me for it, but I feel like every single person who had a problem with Skyward Sword's controls maybe, I don't want to say exaggerates it, but I think that the people who have a problem with the controls remember this demo, and that's in their head, so they already think that the thing isn't going to work in the first place, and so any little glitch or any little time where maybe the game needs a second to catch up or recalibrate, you know, something that otherwise you might just shrug off as, you know, just a game loading or catching up, I think that people are quick to jump on it. Yeah, magnified, exactly. Yeah. So I think that those people are just really quick to pounce on that, as, you know, it's one thing when you notice a game doing something after a while repeatedly and consistently, and then it's another thing when you're looking for it because you've seen it on such a big stage before. So that's my theory. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of people telling me that I'm wrong. But
you know,
I don't care.
I really don't think you're all that far off the mark. I don't know if it's like 100% true, but I think it definitely has some merit. Like I can't, you know, if you didn't see the E3 presentation, played the game and the controls played like crap for you, sure, maybe I could see maybe not leaning on it as heavily, but I don't know, like there's definitely something about seeing something beforehand, seeing it not work, then getting the product and then having it not work and kind of just sitting there looking at yourself going, well, did I just make the, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me kind of moment. It was pretty bad. Yeah.
And Zelda, rough all around. Zelda has unfortunately had a few of those gaffes at E3. But, Taylor, it is time for the number one greatest Nintendo moment of all time at E3. This is everybody's number one, and, you know, I was kind of like, maybe we should try and be different, but then also at the same time I was like, nope, this is just too good. Of course, we are talking about the Twilight Princess trailer from E3 2004. Reggie comes back and says, before we let you go, we want to leave you with one last thing. And this trailer plays, and I think that until Breath of the Wild in 2017 at the the Switch presentation in January, I think that for 13 years, this was the best trailer that Nintendo had ever done. It was simple. It was awesome. It was just, you could feel the hype in the room. The crowd erupted as soon as that camera panned in on Link, yeah, riding Epona, fighting while he was on his horse. It was so, so awesome. I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it. You and I aren't even big Twilight Princess fans, and man, this trailer just gets me so jacked up and makes me want to play, and this is, I think, Nintendo's crowning moment at E3.
I can't disagree with you at all. Like, it was just from start to finish, it was a masterpiece. You know, I think
simply short too. Like, it was short, simple, yeah, to the point. It didn't overstay its welcome.
And then the end cap of that all, like, fade to black. Shigeru Miyamoto is there in the same pose as Link. And, you know, normally this would be one of those moments where you're kind of just like, oh, cringe. But it worked, and the expression on Miyamoto's face was that of just like pure bliss. Like he knew he had hit a home run, and he was standing there ready to go all out, and he did, and it was great. Like I had never been, with the exception of maybe Breath of the Wild, I have never been more hyped for a Zelda game since that reveal. And you know, whatever our feelings for the game after that ended up coming out, like in that moment, Twilight Princess was the greatest Zelda game to ever be released, and you know, it was incredible, and I will never forget that. And I think Nintendo should always look to that whenever they're thinking about, you know, how should we present this? How should we do an E3 presentation? I think that is their capstone moment, and something that they should always be proud of and always look to innovate on.
And it's funny how that comes 1 year after the schmozzle that was Pac-Man versus. So they seem to learn their lesson for a few years anyways, until we got Wii Music back in 2008. But that is undoubtedly the greatest singular Nintendo E3 moment. I don't know that there's anything this year that can possibly top that. We'll see. I hope that there is, but man, I don't think anything can match the elation of that moment when Twilight Princess was revealed. So there it is.
Wild 2 on the Xbox.
you're dreaming, pal. But that's a good dream. So there it is. We want to know what you guys think of our list. We want to know what we missed, what you would put on your list. So definitely comment in the post on the site and let us know, and tweet at us and tell us what you think of our E3 list. That's going to do it for us for this week. A reminder that next week, of course, no episode on Monday, but we'll be live on Tuesday at 8:30 Pacific. E3 is just, it's right around the corner.
Moments away, you could say.
I am stoked. I'm so excited to see what the Big N has got going on for us. That, of course, is going to be at Zelda Dungeon Twitch, so we'll have a post on the site directing you where to go, what time, and what the whole shindig is going to be about. We are super excited, and we hope to see you guys there. It is going to be an action-packed day full of video games, and those are my favorite kind of days, man, so I'm really stoked about it.
Likewise. I cannot wait, and you know, ever since we started doing this last year, like, now I'm thinking a lot more about it in terms of being able to kind of share it with someone, you know, other than my roommates, but, like, you know, just being able to sit down, chill for a short period of time and just watch our dreams hopefully come true.
That's right. So the action gets started this Sunday at E3. The Microsoft press conference is going on then, and we've got a few other press conferences going on Monday. So it's going to be a busy week. We'll be watching lots of video game news, and I am super excited. I hope that you guys come with us on Twitch. It's going to be a fun ride. Until then, we're out of here. Make sure that you head over to iTunes, Podbean, like and subscribe and review, comment, all of that good stuff. If you got a Zelda fan in your life, throw them our way. Tell them about the Champions Cast. They'll have some fun with it, I'm sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Spateri316. You can follow Taylor on Twitter at GIF_BlueHawk. That's going to do it for us. We are out until E3. Get your hype on. See you then.